Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
It has certainly been a whirlwind going through this season two of The Punisher, and we find ourselves already here at the end of season two. We're going to recap everything that happened, take a look back on the season, and ask questions about the future. And will there be one? Probably not. But The Punisher After Show starts now!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, one of many moments where during the season, Z and I are in complete agreement where, like, wow, they're really just killing it with the music. Welcome to The Punisher After Show. I'm Christian Blatt. Joined as always by the one and only Zeal Anderson.
Hey guys, they use this song twice.
Well, my theory on that, it's because it's an expensive song.
And a good song.
You have to justify it. Also was a good song. And of course, April Dawn.
I feel left out. I like the music too.
Well,
we watched, here's the difference. Z and I watched the whole episode 13 together, and you came in the middle, and you'd already seen it. So
it's just because we talked
yeah, sure, you did like it too. So you know what? That's on me for not including you in our party. But
you,
this was the moment where we're like, oh man, the music is so good. Mm-hmm. And just how they used it in the episode, you're just like, oh man, Billy, yikes.
Billy has seen better days.
Yeah, but let's dive right into it. And we're gonna have to go through this one sort of chronologically because of the way that it ties everything up. But when last we left the Punisher, Agent Madani had just pushed Dr. Dumon out the window, and that was a bit of a surprise. But who is happily strolling down the street with his blue flowers? Mr. Blue, keep the tip. Billy's so happy.
He smiles.
Finally.
See him smile?
He gives his boys money and passports. Go ahead. We don't need this anymore. I'm done with this life. I've got something to live for. Everything's coming up, Billy. Is that her getting tossed out the window? What the? So, it makes sense that this episode starts, April, with Agent Madani a little panicked, frantic for what's about to come, right?
Yes, absolutely. That look that Billy gives her through the window, I'm like, oh my God, she's dead.
Yeah, he's like, agreed. I'm killing you with my eyes right now.
Absolutely.
When Z and I started watching it just a couple hours ago, the episode starts and she's like under the bed looking for the gun. And there was that like, oh, right. Yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're in the middle of that craziness. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because you know he's immediately going to come upstairs. Yeah. And again, I mean, Madani is skill-wise no match for Russo. There's no way she could actually take him. But you did bring up a very excellent point.
He's just got the blind rage. Yes. And as we established in our previous episode where we talked about episodes 10 through 12, you can't discount crazy.
Right.
Crazy can get you really far. Mm-hmm. But he's just shooting at her very erratically. And the fact that he doesn't kill her is a bit of a surprise. It just shows how good the shots were that she got. And Zia and I don't know. Well, let me not speak for you, Zia. Did you think that she was dead when he choked her?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Because she gave that look that usually in TV and movies, that's the, I've been choked to death.
And it's the last episode of the season. Yeah. I wouldn't put them past it, killing her off. They didn't really kill off any main characters so much. So all the good ones kind of live, which for me personally, I'm happy about because I start to get really stressed about characters that I like when they get in dangerous situations. I know we constantly talk about Curtis. We were just talking about Curtis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always stresses me out. So I was happy. But yeah, I totally thought she was dead.
April, you usually seem to be smarter than I am, at least. I'm not going to speak for Zia. Did you go like, no, she's not dead? Or did you think he'd killed her?
Oh, they got me.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought they both were dead.
Yeah. I thought that was like, well, that's one way to do it. All right. So the Billy storyline is over.
Yeah. I thought the rest of the episode would be Frank fighting the Pilgrim.
Yeah. Which it largely was. But when we see Agent Madani, being revived, I was just like, okay, that's not.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Where I saw this going. Mm-hmm. So I was glad that she wasn't killed, because it is a character that, you know, we've certainly become attached to during the course of these two seasons. But that was another of in the long string of pretty impressive fight scenes, mm-hmm. where it's just, you know, Zia, I know this was an off-air comment, but you were talking about how you felt anxious today. I think you've just been watching too many gunfights, and I think maybe it's made you a little jumpy.
It's because I'm watching too much of The Punisher. I'm getting way too deep into it, and yeah. So now outside I'm jumpy.
Like, anytime you hear, like, a sound, you're like, oh my god, is that Billy Russo?
Oh, no, I'm good. Just kidding. We live in the real world.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, look, I can understand the argument that we didn't get to when we talked about this on Popcorn Talk on Marvel Movie News. Zach did have the point. Does anybody die on this show? Because Madani doesn't die and Billy doesn't die at that point, you know, and you're just like, oh, I guess not. You know, and all the times where Frank ought to be dead, you know, where, you know, fights where he should be dead like five times in the same fight.
Oh, yeah.
I completely understand that argument, but it's not much of a show if people stay dead all the time.
Yeah, you gotta have him come back and have a revenge plan, duh.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so as this episode starts, though, you want to talk about anxiety. The other thing that we had to be anxious about when the episode started, because at the end of episode 12, we see that Amy tracked the Pilgrim to his apartment. We know she has a shotgun. And we're like, oh, she's... Look, I like her a lot more than I used to.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she's stupid.
Oh,
I mean,
God, tell me about it.
She is just so many bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Zia, how worried were you for Amy when this episode started?
So worried. I think I have multiple times in my notes that Amy is insane. She's a crazy person. First, just seeing her get out of the trunk of the car. I was literally, when I was watching it at home, if, you know, Nick wasn't sleeping, I would have been yelling at the TV, like, what are you doing, woman?
At that point, just leave.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, at that point, I think it was an inventive way to get away from the trailer, hide in his trunk.
Yeah.
But when he gets out and you're there, okay, I'm here now. Let me call Frank from, I don't know, a mile away.
Yes.
Some safe distance.
No, she knocks on the door instead. She's like, now, I'm just gonna...
Let's give her credit. She smartened up and was like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I gotta go hide. But what did you think, April? Did you... would you have done that? Would you have taken the shotgun out of the trunk and followed the crazy guy? So, I thought you seemed like somebody who would have done that.
No, I think she was insane. I don't know where she thought that was a good idea.
Especially somebody is like the Pilgrim. She's seen what he can do. She's seen what he does. He's getting so beat up to an insane point. He's still going. He's very much like Frank in that aspect.
Yeah, this isn't one of Billy Russo's lower level, you know, check cashing heist guys that mm-hmm. you're sneaking up on. This is a guy who is basically on par with the Punisher. You mm-hmm. know, you've seen it. You're well aware of what he's capable of. You should know better. So shame on you, Amy. Shame on you.
I mean, I hope in her thought she was like, I know that he got shot.
Yeah.
And that hopefully he's wounded. Like, I was hoping that's her.
No, that's
process.
A great point. That True. She's just like, well, if there's ever a time to take him out, it's this when I can hear him picking the, you know, just very
buckshot
graphically
wounds, yeah.
getting the buckshot out and dropping it. Yeah.
Brutal scene, by the way.
Yeah. Uh-huh. One of many.
Yeah.
Lots of things. We see the Pilgrim pick a lot of things out of his hair, his legs, and, you know,
bullets.
Whatever. Exactly. Amy eventually does the right thing and says, Frank, I know where he is. So do you want to come?
God.
Why don't you come get him?
Thank
and,
God.
And Frank, of course, is like, you're so stupid. What are you doing?
He's such
did you get any closer than this? And she's like, nope. Except for the part where I knocked on his door, but I'm not going to tell. That's right. What does that serve? I'm not going to tell Frank that.
Yeah. I love how parenty he gets.
Yeah.
He just gets so parenty. And you're like, oh, that's what he could have been. I mean, mm-hmm. he's definitely... goes a little overboard and gets a little too angry sometimes, but definitely very like, how could you?
No, not Frank.
Well, you know, like when she tries to sneak up on him and steal his weapon when he comes into the trailer, that was probably a mistake to do to the Punisher.
Yeah.
But yes, he was more angry at himself, as we talked about in that episode. Anyway, back to this episode, though. So one of the other things that we are dealing with early in this episode is the Schultz family. We have Senator Schultz, who has at the, I believe it was at the end of episode 12, and Frank is like, time to call mommy and daddy. And well, we get that call, and as Z and I were watching it, I definitely made notice of the fact that they had the cell phone run to a laptop and they were recording the call.
Mm-hmm. Very smart.
What do you think about the plan? Not the way that the plan goes, April, but this idea of, all right, you know, the Pilgrim has the girl. I've got your kid now, you crazy MFers. So what are we going to do about this? What do you think about that as plans go?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a solid plan. I mean, I think Frank did the best that he could with that situation until Curtis screws it up. But yeah.
I thought Curtis was a team player, and like, I get it. He wants to do the right thing. He knows that Senator Schultz is not a bad guy. He's, as we were talking about in our previous episode, he's one of the few people that hasn't done anything wrong at all.
No, you know? I legitimately feel terrible for him, especially in episode 12.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But
I mean 13. I'm sorry.
No, well, in episode 12, he's getting 12, his face beat in. Yeah, but then 13, episode 13, when he realizes,
the realization hits
the extent of what terrible people his parents are. In the name of his political career.
Right.
I think that's a...
Right. In the name of his... But more like he realizes they're probably ashamed of the fact that he's gay.
Yes, but he's their only chance to get the Schultz name into the White House. So, So I thought that Frank handled that call really well. Mm-hmm. I thought that that was some top-notch Frank. What did you think, April, about how he engaged with the Schultzes? Especially knowing that he was recording them, by the way.
Yeah, I think that was super smart on his end. I mean, if all else fails, he'll at least have that backup of that blackmail.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's always useful to have the blackmail.
I love how he baited him. He's like, is that a threat? Like, yeah. And what does he say? That's a fact?
Yeah, right? It's like, it's a fact. Yeah, it's like, that sounds like a threat because I know I have your kid here. And then that was they get off the call and there's that nice moment from David where he's like, but was that a threat? You know, he's like, what do you think? You know, so, you know, Frank, it's so ambiguous, Frank's nature, Zia. But I think if Frank had had to kill David, I think he would have.
I think he would have, too.
But he would have gone to great lengths.
Yeah,
to not
have to do that. I think if he really, really had to save Amy,
yeah,
he would have. But I think that overall he didn't want to because I think he really did realize that he wasn't a bad person and wasn't doing anything bad. And that's eventually how David gets Curtis on his side. It's just
he knows that he's kind of one of the, you know, David, Curtis, and Mahoney are kind of like, you know, the three mostly good people here in this show. And that's why they come together, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But let's talk about the Frank and Pilgrim shootout that we've been waiting for. And
shootout through a wall.
Through a wall. And a wall. Zia, I said this when we were watching. If you learned anything from season 2 of The Punisher, what is it?
Get two hotel rooms.
Always get two hotel rooms. Have them adjoining or have, you know, get the one behind and tunnel out the wall. But you always need two hotel rooms because you never know how it's going to go.
So April, make sure. Yeah. Next time you have to go stay anywhere.
I'm on it.
Yeah. Yeah, make sure. Yeah. It's, two hotel rooms. Doesn't matter how much it costs. You got to get the second one. You need that second room. April, just from a fight sequence standpoint, what did you think of watching Frank and John really go at it?
I thought it was super inventive. I was not expecting him to switch rooms like that.
Yeah.
I loved all the shots that they took. I was worried for Amy that she would get like shot through a wall on accident. And I love when Frank goes through, like, the Kool-Aid man. Like, he jumps through the wall. It was the best.
I think right before that happened, we both, because Z and I were not being quiet while we watched it.
No,
which,
we were talking.
Which is weird because I've never watched this show with anyone else in the room. I always watch it by myself. Well, my wife's asleep on the couch, but I'm not watching it with someone actively watching it.
Right.
And so we're talking so much. And I know right before that happened, we're like, well, you know, Amy's going to do something crazy. And then on cue, Frank jumps through the wall. And so it was just, Zia, you were just like, basically.
Or Frank.
Yeah. Or Frank.
Or Frank.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But again, their interactions are great because of how evenly matched they are. And when we see the sequel to their fight scene, this is another one of those moments, though, April, where you have to say, oh, come on, Amy. All you needed to do was stay hiding, not out in the hallway with the shotgun. Frank's going to take care of this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can tell from around the corner that Frank's in trouble and you need to help, fine. But don't just sneak down the hallway with the shotgun. What is she thinking? Or is she thinking?
Yeah.
Exactly. Sorry, I stepped like, on your response help. There. Yeah. Yeah, she just clearly wasn't thinking. And then, of course, exactly what you didn't want. You know, Frank was probably relieved. Like, oh, he doesn't have you? Oh, this is great. You know where he is. That's even better. And then we end up in the scenario. It's like, oh, great. Now this guy's got you as a hostage. And I'm going to have to actually do the negotiation that I was going to get away with. But April, as you pointed out, somebody decided to be a good man at a moment that was very inconvenient to Frank
Castle. Damn it, Curtis.
Yeah. Damn it, Curtis, and your conscience.
You, but...
well, talk about what you think really went into that decision for Curtis, but then also talk about Frank's reaction when he realized the fact that Curtis and David were gone.
Yeah, I think Curtis had been put into a lot of compromising situations this season, and especially after killing that guy, I think that, like, he just needed to do the right thing. Like,
yeah.
He didn't want to see anybody else get hurt, even though he kind of ended up screwing over Frank.
Yeah, but he says it best when he's like, I just want to go home.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
He just wants to go to bed. He just wants
to
lay down.
He had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, just let him get back to her.
Who he probably ghosted for who knows how long during all of this stuff going on. So does he still have a girlfriend? I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Or Curtis. Let's hope. You know, Curtis is a good guy. Maybe he can explain it. But imagine explaining to the girl that you'd been seeing. Like, all right, so let me tell you about my week. All right.
I was off with the Punisher.
Yeah.
The who?
Yeah, exactly. And I stayed a lot in my trailer. You have a trailer? Yeah. All this stuff. So, and then when Frank has the realization that, like, okay, so my leverage is gone now, he just, you know, he improvises in true Frank fashion.
He pivots.
But what did you think about his reaction in that moment when he comes back to an empty trailer?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did what he had to do. He played it cool, and I think he did the best he could.
Definitely.
Before we get back to the trailer, though, I loved the elevator scene.
I'm glad you mentioned
you.
It.
That
was
like the best elevator scene since Captain America Winter Soldier.
Nice.
That's a great comparison. And Frank was just like, they needed a way for Frank to not just follow them down to the basement. And I thought that was great that, there's like five cops in there. And of course we know Frank isn't going to do anything to seriously harm police officers. But he does have to knock them out.
Mm-hmm.
And and I love that it stopped on a floor and the one guy spills out. Frank ends up back in the elevator and then it goes all the way down. I agree. And, you know, everybody in the chat, when we are done talking about this episode, we're going to look back on the season as a whole for a couple minutes. So one of the things that you can chime in and tell us is your favorite, if you have to pick one fight scene, and I'm going to put that in the back of the head of both of you. You already have it.
I got it.
All right. Well, I don't want it yet. But everybody in the chat, let us know. The elevator's pretty great, but I thought that it was just a nice continuation of the mayhem that that we have throughout this episode. And the thing that surprises me a lot is the interaction between Frank and John when, I don't know, you know, John is a little beaten down. I guess his wife passed away. He just wants it all to be over. He lets himself get talked into the idea that David's in the trailer. He doesn't know that he's alive. He doesn't know that he's actually there. But he gives Frank the girl anyway and lets her drive away. I don't know, Zia, were you surprised at the fact that that actually worked for Frank?
A little bit. But I think that Frank kind of connected with him.
Yeah.
With his faith, first of all, and the fact that he really was trying to go be a better person. And I think it also helped a little bit that he had that conversation in the car with Amy, who I think she had a great speech there. She's like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And I think that sort of that softened him up a little bit. He just lost his wife. He has his two sons.
That all he wants to do is really and just all, get back yeah, to them all he and wants take to care do, of them.
So at this point, he's not, I don't think he's really working for, you know, as a Ghost puts it. Oh my gosh. What do you call them? Oh, Roger, Don, and Martha Kent, crazy parents. So yeah, he's not really working for them anymore. And I think at this point, he probably is just exhausted. And you see that a little bit. He went back to a life that he never thought he was going to have to go back to, that he didn't want to have to go back to. And he also realizes that he's being completely used.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, you're right. That is a great interaction that he has with Amy in the car. And, you know, she's definitely a little flippant with a guy that, you know, that he's not going to be able to kill you because of it. But, you know, she definitely was running her mouth a little bit where I'm like, you know how crazy this guy is, right?
Yeah. But I think she got to him a little bit. I think he actually, you know. Yeah.
Well, that, you know, leads to Amy heading off. But
that that moment, though, when Frank kisses her on the head, was like the sweetest, most sincere moment of the entire season.
That, I think, yeah. And Zia, I know you had a very vocal reaction to that moment because...
Oh, I wrote it down. That was the sweetest thing. You're right. Thank you for bringing that up because that was the sweetest thing that's ever happened. And I was like, oh my God, that would be the moment I might cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually the one I was talking about. But you didn't because you're dead inside. We established that.
But
you were so close.
I felt a little thing.
It was a butterfly.
Your heart grew three sizes today.
Yeah, it was a little butterfly, and then she strangled it like Billy Russo would have. So it was fine. But yeah, I think that just the, you know, look, Frank knows it's right to keep Amy safe, but just throughout the course of the season, the fondness he has for her and how important she is to him. And the fact that he says to John, like, I would do anything for that kid. Just point the gun at me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that is part of how he allowed himself to be talked into it, mm-hmm. because he's like, John just is like, all right, I think somehow this guy is a good man, you know, in the way that I'm a good man. So I really thought that exchange was very powerful. It was great to see that Amy gets away. But April, what about round two of John versus Frank, where they're just improvising any junk in that junkyard that they could hit each other with?
Yeah, that was brutal. They were throwing a lot of stuff at
their chains and pipes. And
yeah.
A shovel?
Oh.
Yeah, that was the hardest.
That was the worst. Like, when he breaks the head of the shovel off on, like, well, I think he missed Frank that time.
Yeah.
But you're just like, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was a particularly uncomfortable exchange. It is, as it unfolds on the screen, it is left sort of ambiguous as to what happened. So when we see the fact that they're basically done fighting, and John looks up at Frank and says, when you go to kill them, please leave my kids alone. Zia, let me ask you first, and then April, the same question. What did you think in that moment, you know, just the obvious connection that he had with Frank?
Oh, yeah. I 100% thought he was going to spare him because he already spared Nikolai, I believe, who ended up dying anyway, because he also had kids. I think that that's a soft spot for him because he lost his own kids. And so, of course, there was that connection there. And I, yeah, in that moment, knew he was going to let him go. That seems to sort of be his Frank's soft spot is anyone with kids, and the fact that he wants to protect his kids. That's all he wants to do. He just wants his kids to be safe. Frank's going to want to give that to them. He doesn't want to create more broken homes with kids without parents left in the care of, you know, people like David's parents.
I agree with that, and I also think that in some ways that fight sort of starts to run out of gas by both of their, you know, just both of their, the both of the way that they're feeling. They're both beaten, but also their heart's just not in it. I did like the way it started, though, which is the moment of like, you need a minute. And he's like, I'm just waiting for you. Mm-hmm. I you're just like, oh, okay, they really are like the same guy. And yeah, I think that to me, as I'm watching it, it's just, he just doesn't have it in him anymore. You know, neither one of them, actually. Neither of them have it in them anymore. Frank, you know, he has, like, that huge canister. You know, it was like, what was it, like an oxygen tank? And, yeah, he could bash the guy's head in. But it's also like, what is that going to solve? You know? I mean, that's that this guy isn't actually the bad guy. He's just the puppet of the actual bad guys. Did you get those feelings from the way Frank was responding during the fight, April?
Yeah, I think you both summed it up perfectly. They have both been through so much this season that really wasn't their fight to begin. Yeah. Like, they're both doing it for another person. And by then, they're just so broken down. And as you said, the weak spot for Frank is his kids. And there's no way he could have killed him when he says that.
Yeah. And I do wonder if, you know, John clearly knows his story. They have an exchange, you know, where he says, like, if you could have stopped your kids from being killed, what would you do? And he's like, anything. And John makes the point, and here we are, you know, because that's what I'll do for my kids. I think connecting on that level a couple of times, it's not surprising that, John walks away from it all at the end. It sort of gives a happier ending too. Again, these are bad guys who we were able to feel sympathy for the situations that they're in. I mean, John Pilgrim is not a good person throughout this series, but you really get the feeling he's just in a bad situation and he doesn't know the way out of it. So I think that obviously he connects well with Frank, and I don't know. Let us know in the chat what you thought about sort of the way that their story kind of it doesn't have an ending where anybody dies, you know. And I think a lot of times on a show like this, that is where it ends up, and that might be an unsatisfying resolution for some people of one of the basically the driving storyline of the whole season. When Curtis finally gets home, April, mm-hmm. he finally gets to lay down and his phone rings. Did you think it was going to be Billy on the other end of that phone? Because I was surprised.
I didn't really know who it was going to be. Like, it's like, what now?
Yeah,
like,
right. <That's...
laughs> just like, leave the guy alone for a bit. But it doesn't surprise me that Billy called him. Because, as we know, he lost his memory. He doesn't have many people to turn to. He saw what happened to Dr. Dumont. It's pretty much his last person to call.
And he knows that this is the sort of thing that, you know, Curtis can, he could help with. I mean, he's obviously a medic. He could mm-hmm. have certainly helped. Or just the idea, I don't want to be alone when I die. I thought it was interesting that he called Curtis. Were you surprised that it was Billy Russo on the other end of that call, Zia?
Again, not so much, just because as April already put, is who else does he have? Who else is he going to call? What I was surprised about, though, was the fact that Curtis called Frank. I actually did kind of expect Curtis to go down there with
him. And stitch him up.
Well, not even stitch him up, just be with him while he died. Yeah. That's kind of where my head was at, or where he was going to go with that. So the fact that he called Frank was actually really surprising. But I guess that at that point, Curtis had just had so much of just enough that he was like, all right, let's just end this, please.
Yeah, he's like, all roads have been leading to what needs to happen to Billy, you know, and he came to terms with the fact that Billy needed to die. And, you know, it's sort of, well, it was a very funny sequence, unfortunately, although also hard to watch, when Billy gets the shady drunk doctor in some warehouse. April, what did you think about the medicinal prowess of that professional?
Mm-hmm. That was a hard scene to watch for me.
Yeah.
Just because, like, when he's taking the shots of the alcohol and when he's like, he wants to put him down and he's like, if you move at all, I'm going to rupture an organ. So that was just like really nerve wracking to watch. But I don't blame the doctor for.
No, but to Billy's credit, Zia, don't put me under. Because uh-huh. yeah. he's like, I know you, you shaky, you know, bad surgeon.
He also brought a giant duffel bag full of cash. mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, the temptation there is pretty strong. The fact that he passed out from pain is not entirely surprising. And the doctor did exactly what a shady doctor would do.
Yeah, take out one bullet, leave the rest in, and steal your money yeah. and toss you in the dumpster. The fact that he woke up in a dumpster, I'm like, oh, he didn't just leave him there.
Mm-hmm.
He like dragged him to a dumpster.
He's like, he's going to die.
He's going to die. Yeah. I think he didn't take into consideration quite how tough Billy was. But I don't know. I mean, I think in that moment, all Billy can do is just laugh. That's like, okay, yep, you got me, Doc. Yeah, that was on me, bringing all that money.
My bad. And,
yeah, that's what I get for hiring you, right, April? Mm-hmm. And that was, yeah.
I would have been more like, stitch me up and I'll like tell you where the money is. Not like, let me just set this here while right. you operate on me.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. But I guess he was not thinking about that.
I do think that maybe he wasn't thinking entirely clearly, considering one, he's Billy Russo. Two, he'd lost a lot of blood. Uh-huh. So the fact that he even found that doctor, it should have worked out for him, but it doesn't. And ultimately, Curtis does call Frank, and that brings us to kind of an abrupt interaction between Frank and Billy.
Caught me off guard.
I was surprised. What did you think when you saw Frank come in?
Oh, I thought he was also going to sit with him while he died, but I guess I underestimated how, I guess just seeing Billy in that situation or sort of that state and that state of mind. Again, I almost sort of felt sorry for him in that moment. And everything that he did sort of left my brain just briefly. And I think a lot of that also had to do with the fact that I was 100% wrong about how much he cared about Dr. Dumont. He really actually did want to leave everything in the past and go start a new life with her. And that was taken away from him. And again, rightfully so. There's, you know, he should have been killed, absolutely. But I still felt a little bit bad for him. And so when Frank put two more bullets in his chest, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. It was a bit anticlimactic because you were expecting more of a show off with them. It was just kind of a whimpering Billy, and then that was it. It was not exactly what I was expecting.
I definitely agree that it's not what I was expecting. April, do you think that from Frank's point of view, it was just more of, well, I'm going to kind of put you down like the dog that you are because, you know, my family didn't really have much of a chance. There was no resolution, no like long, meaningful conversation. Do you think that it was just Frank saying, no, you were involved in my family getting killed. So boom, that's it. Right.
I can understand where you feel like it's anticlimactic, but I feel like it's very true to his character. That what Billy did to his family, and also what can possibly be said at this point that can mend anything or make anyone feel better. It's too far broken. It's all that there was left to do in True. My eyes.
And most people agree with you too. Black Magic said, I felt it was a proper ending to a violent tragedy, and he was really hoping that Frank would just shoot him, and he's glad that they did and they didn't drag it out. Also, earlier in the chat, John Smith,
if that is your real name.
Sir. John Smith says, I like how Russo's story ended, quick and to the point. And, you know, it really was. I guess they also did have their big fight in previous episodes. They kind of been duking it out as time went on. This was more focused on Pilgrim and... Mm-hmm. And
yeah, and I do think Frank needed the satisfaction of being the one to kill him.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was like, you know... He was probably like, I'm glad he didn't die in that dumpster because then I didn't have anything to do with it. And then I think that it was the only way, like Frank isn't happy about any of it, but it's like he's able to finally turn the page on that. This was definitely the last loose end tied to his family's murder. You know, when season one started, he thought he was tying it all up, and it turned out that there was a whole lot that he still had to deal with. So I think it's maybe just relief that it's finally over. And of course, there's the paperwork that needs to be filed. And of course,
I love this scene so much.
Of course, Mahoney's there. And yeah, it was definitely, we were talking during it, April, and you were in here too at that point when we were watching it. I just was like, I kind of want the Mahoney sitcom. Like, I don't want a drama. Like, he's just there to make us laugh because he's so by great. The book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the fact that he's like, all right, so, what's this load of crap you're going to feed me here? Okay, so what? Tell me again what happened.
He's like, I'm not used to blurring the lines as much as you guys. Yeah. And I love April. You're sitting over there. We're watching. And April just goes, oh, Mahoney.
He's got spunk.
Yeah.
He doesn't give up.
No, he doesn't. He's just like, oh, man, I was just hoping somebody was going to shoot straight with me just once. Yeah. But no, that's not what any of you people do. Okay.
I love how Frank turns them all in the end.
Yeah.
Everyone is just against it. Madani first is like, no, no, no. And then Mahoney, of course, is like, no, no, no. And he saves their lives a few times, and suddenly it's like, oh, all right.
And I think Mahoney's line that got you, April, was when he's like, any chance we could preserve this crime scene? Yeah, that was just like the most Mahoney thing you could say there. So I thought it was, you know, everybody's still willing to stand up for Frank. And Madani's saying, like, you know what? Maybe I counted wrong. Maybe I shot him five times. I don't really remember, you know? So that's when he's just like, all right, what am I going to do at this point? You know, time to move on. So there's only really one major loose end happening here. And I was a little surprised that when we see the Schultzes dining in their literal castle, by the way, that Amy's the one that comes in with the shotgun. And that didn't go the way I thought it would. April, were you surprised that it was Amy who confronted them?
Yeah, absolutely. But I felt like it was fitting. I'm like, okay, yeah. They're the reason that she went through all this, and it felt fitting that she would be there. When she went, Mrs. Schultz went for the knife, I didn't expect Frank to like step in so quickly.
Yeah, because my first thought, Zia, was when she goes for the knife, I thought that, you know, Amy was a little distracted and she didn't actually mean to shoot her, she just did. But then Frank obviously came in and was like, yeah, I took care of it. But were you surprised by how all of that that unfolded? You know, what the plan was going in there, that Amy would go in first and Frank would make sure that it ended the way it was supposed to?
You know, not really. I mean, I definitely at the time, in the moment of watching it, I was like, oh, okay. But it makes perfect sense. I mean, honestly, Frank had wanted to end it for Amy and with Amy this entire time. That's why she stuck around with him. He's like, you and me, we're going to end this. So it makes sense that, you know, they kind of went in and ended it together. But I did think that she might have gone rogue at first. For just like one moment, I was like, oh.
No, there was a moment where I'm like, Amy. Wait, she went all that way.
Amy.
She's going into there. It's like, I know that these are just two rich people, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, you shouldn't have taken this on by yourself with a shotgun. And clearly she hadn't.
She did so many dumb things earlier this season. It's like, yeah, I could see her doing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that that's probably why we're supposed to think, like, did she really just drive to what we assume is North Carolina or somewhere like that? Did she just drive down there with a shotgun? Like, all right, let's take care of this. And I think that you know, Frank just is like, all right, well, that took care of half of the equation. The fact that he gives Mr. Schultz, his name's Anderson, he just gives him the gun and the bullet and was like, all right, so I have this recording. You choose. Do you want to live with that, you know, being made public? Or do you want to do the right thing and just kill yourself? And he, of course, Frank manages to refer to his crazy bitch of a wife. He manages to work that in there.
She made the decision for herself.
Yeah. I don't know. While we're watching that, April, what are some of the thoughts that you have about that as the solution to the problem for Frank? You know, give him a gun and a bullet.
I think at the end of the day, Frank knew that he would end up killing himself, because you learn that the most important thing to the Schultzes is their name and their legacy and them trying to get to the White House. And if this comes out, that's done with, and their life is pretty much over in their eyes to begin with.
Especially after his wife just got shot and killed in front of him.
Yeah.
Then what are you going to do?
Yeah. And, you know, obviously they try to talk their way out of it the way that rich people in TV and movies always
money,
do.
Money, money, money.
It's just like, what do you need? We have money. And she's like, oh, I don't need money. Yeah. I thought it was a very satisfying conclusion. And I liked that, you know, we obviously all had the impression that John the Pilgrim is still alive. But I liked that we saw him getting his boys in the car. Obviously, you didn't need to spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
We see, like, okay, everything's going to be all right. Their dad's weird.
I was just going to say, like, is that really the best thing? Like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm happy for him. I'm like, but he did all that stuff earlier. Yeah. Like,
but to hope he retires for good.
He really wanted to leave it all behind him. And so now, hopefully this time, he really does. So We also get another touching scene with Frank and Amy in the bus station. Zia, so again, sweet. No tears, but...
No, but it was really sweet.
Yeah, and...
More kissing. But of just, you know, like, tender, fatherly kissing.
Of course. Very, yeah.
but it was still, it was
he's
sweet.
He's very affectionate towards her, which it's just like, you don't expect to see him be sweet like that, you know?
I know, that little hug. Aw.
See, it's almost got you.
It does.
Yeah, but, April... just looking at Frank and Amy, I mean, we've talked a lot about it. She's a you know, substitute for his daughter, but mm-hmm. there is that void in his life. Like, we saw him with Beth's son at the beginning of the season. Clearly, he has an affinity for children. He likes to talk to them, you know, and interact with them. And it took a while. But Amy definitely grew on him. Mm-hmm. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, I think as she grew on him, she grew on us as well.
Yeah. Oh, definitely us. Yeah.
Yeah. and I thought it was a really sweet ending, like, that she gets to go to school in Florida and do what she has always dreamed of doing. And also,
I forget,
like,
what it's called now. Marine jumping or
treasure diving.
Treasure diving. Basically treasure diving, which is, by the way, awesome. Right. That's kind of an amazing thing. Yeah. I know. I like that that's what she actually wants to do, mm-hmm. you know, and hopefully she'll be very happy doing that.
I actually really loved her talking about that. This was in a previous episode when she was talking about just how peaceful it is in the water. That's something I can relate to, like, massively. I used to spend hours out in the ocean, and my parents and aunts and uncles would have to be like, basically go out there to drag me in, because it's just so peaceful, and you're in the ocean, you can't hear anything. It's so soothing. So I understand where she's coming from.
And then that was a great conversation she had with Curtis. Yeah. So that goes back to that scene.
Another one with Curtis.
Yeah, of course. You know, Curtis, who hopefully also is happily ever after. There are two more things that happen in this episode we'll talk about very quickly. The Dumont Madani in the hospital.
That interaction.
Did you come to gloat? Like, not really. But then.
But since you mentioned it.
Yeah, but then in not gloating, right? She couldn't help herself, right?
Well, because she came in feeling really badly about what happened because she thought that Russo dragged her in. But then she realized that Dumont was insane and was like, no, I'm in love with him and I want to have a life with him. And she was like, oh, I see. Okay.
You're crazy.
Yeah, you're not, and that's when she started gloating, because just, good Lord, woman. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, really. She couldn't help herself. And so Madonna's like, you know, what felt really good was when I shot him three times. Like, that was really therapeutic. So, yeah.
I'm glad she got that, though. Yeah. Like, she's wanted him to die for so long. I'm glad she got to put a couple bullets in him.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, all right, she survived her fall. We can see she's, you know, all in braces and everything. So, interestingly enough, we have that. And then we jump ahead 3 months and Frank gets a call from Madani. He's like, come on, come work for the CIA. And it's like, oh, you remember season one? No, I can't do stuff like that. So we get the final scene of season two, which is a somewhat controversial scene. But April, I know how it made you feel. But tell the audience how it made you feel.
I absolutely loved it. It definitely was a fan service, but I ate it up. I loved seeing him in the jacket, and I feel like the last couple interactions with him, like the way he killed Billy and how he handled the Schultzes, it's just like, I feel like I'm finally seeing the comic book Punisher, and it's just so frustrating knowing that it's most likely going to be canceled and we'll never get to that point.
Yeah, whenever we get another iteration of the Punisher on screen, we're going to have to start all over again. And we're not going to get to this point for a very long time, if ever. I know a friend of mine who really disliked the season, but what he did like was sort of the last part of the final episode, because of exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. He's starting to act like the Punisher that we know from the comics. He's wearing the skull. And as you pointed out, April, he's got the jacket.
Yes.
You know, he's got the look down. And, you know, we don't know what's going on, all those people who are meeting about their deal. But Frank knows that there are a bunch of bad guys, right, Zia?
Yeah, he does. And even in the chat, Black Magic asks, why was it controversial? And Star Drew says, the whole two gang and everyone was dirty there. So
yeah, no,
you would imagine.
It's not with, by the way, it's not with me. I don't think it's with anybody on the show, but I've seen that on social media.
On social media,
that
right.
People just are like, what's he doing? I'm like, he's being the Punisher.
He's the Punisher,
he's
right.
He's punishing people who need to be punished. Mm-hmm. Those are all bad people in there.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of the Punisher is that they're bad people. Yeah. Just because, and I think that was somebody else's point, is being in a gang maybe might be situational, not necessarily that you're a bad person. But I think maybe he wouldn't call them there unless they had done some really, really bad things.
Yeah.
He
does his homework.
Yeah. Frank can do some things impulsively, but it's usually because someone's trying to kill him. You know,
right.
He's very well researched. So that's really the season as a whole. Now, we only have a few minutes, but I'm going to say, for me, the biggest problem with this season, we had absolutely no Microchip, and I just expected that we were going to have him. Mm-hmm. I really liked him in season one. On the one hand, I have to be happy for his character, but Frank needs Microchip. I mean, they have to work together.
I agree.
So that was very upsetting that he would not even an appearance, you know, not even a, hey, I need some help with this one thing. You know, he calls it, he's nothing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I was a little upset by that. But on the whole, I really liked the season. I think I prefer season one a little bit. But in a lot of ways, there was a lot I liked about this. April, your overall thoughts on the season?
I was also going to point out about Micro, because in the comics, he's his right-hand man. He's always there.
Yeah.
I would have liked, like, when they're looking for John the Pilgrim in the database, and they're like, we can't find him, if they would have been like, well, maybe we could find somebody who can. And then a little cameo.
Even if they felt like he didn't fit into that story, I agree. That's a perfect example for where we could have had him. What did you think, Zia?
No, yeah, you're right. It's interesting, because he is part of the every story, just because this story wasn't about him, because in the first season he was very much a part of the story and what was going on, but you still totally could have worked him in. He still could have, they go off and keep working together. I don't think that would have been a huge issue, and it would have been nice to see him. You're right, even if it was just for something of they have to call him a couple of times.
But Microchip notwithstanding, you were overall happy with the season?
Oh yeah, love the season. First season is always going to be, I think, my favorite. I wish we were getting a third. I mean, I'll still keep my fingers crossed just in case.
It hasn't been canceled yet,
but I doubt that's going to happen. But I did really love season two. I think that I could have seen a little bit more of the Pilgrim storyline.
Yeah, they definitely didn't do a great job of having the Billy and Pilgrim storylines, Billy Pilgrim story, being parallel. Mm-hmm. You know, they definitely pushed one aside for the other a little more than I would have liked. And maybe if there were less episodes, they could have streamlined it more.
Yeah, there was somebody that said that here in chat, or maybe it was in the last one, and I'm sorry if I don't shout you out by name, but they did say that they would have been happier with a shorter season.
What did you see as some of the big pros and cons for the season, April?
I said, I loved the first episode. Yeah. I wish that he would have went back to her.
To Beth.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
I did expect that, by the way. I thought that even watching that episode and when she's in the hospital, I'm like, okay, however this ends, that's where he's going to go.
I was hoping when he was in the car, it's like, yeah, he's going to go visit Beth at the bar. And that would just be the ending. But I liked seeing him in the outfit. I wish there was more Karen Page as well.
Yes, only one episode was disappointing. Yes. Definitely a disappointment.
Still want them together. Sorry, Beth.
I know. That's true.
Sorry, Beth.
Oh, that's all right. We know that you're not a big Beth fan. Yeah. But
I'm
sorry. Okay. Sorry, April.
Yeah, I'm sure April wasn't with us when we did the first few episodes. Yeah. And
we would have had a fun argument there.
So the one question, if we have people in the chat who want to throw it in, well, we only have a couple minutes, but I wanted each person to talk about their favorite fight scene from the season. Oh, yeah. Zia, I know you had yours right away. So what was yours?
It's the first episode in the bathroom.
That's pretty great.
It's the bathroom scene with the sink and, I mean, the stabbing. Oh, my God. It was so good. And also the barroom brawl was good, too. But just that bathroom scene. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
What did you think, April?
I really liked the Madani and Dumont fight.
That's pretty great.
Neither of them are like superheroes in any way. They were just two girls going at it. I liked it.
I certainly have no problem with that. I think that was a good fight. And I think for me, you know, as the season went along, I probably was like, oh, this is my favorite fight scene. But when you think about what the storyline of the season was, the last fight between John and Frank, the one where we're talking about where they just gave up, it was just impressive because obviously, like, what we saw them do while they were actually fighting was some really inventive, you know, cinematography, all that was great. But just both of them reaching this point of like, what are we doing? Like, do we really have to keep at this? You know, let's figure out a way where, you know, this girl is safe, where you're with your kids, and we really take out these people who we both know are really bad people. So for me, that was what I thought. I know we literally only have 1 minute, but if anybody jumps out in the chat, please let us know, Zia. But if not, leave your comments. You know, we'll all be in the comments on YouTube, and we will be sure to chime in. Also, if you haven't had enough of seeing the three of us talk about The Punisher, you will see all three of us again talk about The Punisher Season 2 as a whole Sunday night here on AfterBuzz TV at 9 p.m. on Marvel TV Weekly. We're just going to do some very broad strokes, big picture stuff. We won't get into the nitty gritty. We're going to just, you know, go through each of the characters and what we thought about how they handled themselves during the season. So that'll be our if you enjoyed all of this in-depth stuff, but this will be a little bit of, you know, a smaller capsule for everybody to digest.
Very, very quickly, just since we asked, yes. Black Magic did chime in. He said, for him, it's either the Pilgrim versus his past group, also great.
Also a great fight scene.
Or Frank at the bar. And then I just want to very quickly honorably mention Frank at the Russian gym with all the weights.
Oh, the Russian gym was good. Great. Yeah.
Okay. We can talk about
especially,
that more on Sunday,
especially because Turk was there.
Yeah. We always
so that
Turk.
Always makes it fun. So if you can find all of us Sunday night, we'll be doing that. And you can find me tonight at 10 Pacific talking about Star Trek Discovery here at AfterBuzz. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. Zia, where do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_Land. It's XIA_Land. Marvel TV Weekly. Marvel Movie News, Thursdays at 1 p.m.
Thank you. On Popcorn Talk.
On Popcorn
and,
Talk, yes.
April, where do people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at April13Dawn.
Thank you both. This was a lot of fun to talk about what we all thought was a great season. Apparently, the internet doesn't always agree with us.
Sure, but what are you going to do?
But that's right. Yeah. Oh, internet, what do they know? But we really enjoyed having everybody in the chat. Thanks so much. And let's hope that there's a season 3 so we get to do this again one day. But until Sunday, we'll see you then. Thanks so much, everybody.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.